This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, July 19th, 2023, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I want to concentrate on the last verse of just three verses from Scripture. Matthew chapter 11. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. This is a verse where our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of his divinity. This flies in the face of all those folks, I was going to say friends, but they're not really your friends if they say that. All those folks who say that our Lord Jesus Christ never claimed to be God. He most certainly does in many different places, and this is one of them. Our Lord claims to be our God, but the only way that we truly understand this, we do not understand this by our human nature. We understand this because the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes to this. So I have the Mass of the votive Mass of the Holy Spirit today. We owe so much to the Holy Spirit because when Jesus says this, a lot of people heard it. A lot of people understood the words that he was saying, but very, very few believed it. And that has borne out throughout time. A lot of people hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't, when they say believe, the bumper stickers and the billboards all over the place. Believe. Oh, in what? Believe in what? We have to believe in something objective, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's God. But the only way that you know that is through the Holy Spirit. He says, well, just said, I'm God. Yes, the blessed and undivided Trinity. Everything that we hear about one applies to all the others. And again, in this emphasis of the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is what makes us different from all the other world religions. Hold that thought, because I mean, a lot of the stuff you read now and a lot of stuff that's touted is, well, there's an element of truth in everything. So what? There's an element of truth in a lot of claims, and it doesn't make them right. As a matter of fact, they can be tremendously wrong. I always use the analogy from back in the day when I used to have a vocation, which most of you know what it is. I heard all kind of excuses for people doing all kind of really horrible things. I've heard people give the excuses of why they robbed liquor stores. I've heard people give excuses to why they took another human being's life several times. Is there an element of truth in that? Well, yeah, that person did make you mad, but that didn't give you the right to kill them. There's an element of truth in something. It means nothing, really. The truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ is God, and he sets out the parameters in which we are to live. This is the reality of our faith. Our Lord Jesus, again, where does he claim to be God in that? Oh, how about like when he says, all things are delivered to me by my Father? Jesus, I'm making an understatement there. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. Christ is not inferior to the Father. You know, there's some parts of Scripture where people could go there and say that, but that's when you take a portion of Scripture that says something and you don't apply it to the other parts, like this one right here. All things have been given me by my Father. Christ teaches, as a matter of fact, people who say he doesn't claim deity, actually the converse is right here. St. Matthew is writing to us and he's sharing with us something, a claim that Jesus made to be equal with God. All things have been given me by the Father. Christ alone. Christ alone. Not everything is given me and maybe some of the other people who might claim to be prophets. All things by the Father have been given to me. Christ alone works. He teaches. He works the works of God. He teaches the truths of God. He preaches eternal salvation through the Father, and you get the Father through him alone, Jesus, and he bestows all the gifts that God has. Everything has been, all the gifts that we talk about, the fruits of the Spirit, all of these things that we have, all these graces and all these blessings we have, come through Jesus Christ, because all things have been given to him by the Father. All. And it's not because God thought that Jesus was so special because he was a good person. He was the best person that ever lived on the face of this planet. No, he by nature inherits these things because he's the second person of the Trinity. All things. There's other things I just mentioned. The works, the teaching, the preaching. Well, a lot of people work, a lot of people preach, a lot of people teach. Nobody else bestows divine graces. Nobody else has, as the prophet Isaiah says, dominion and power over the world. The government rests upon his shoulders. The disposition of souls. The disposition of soul. How do you come to the Father? There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And he says it right here. Jesus Christ is the one who is going to choose and to illuminate and save whom he will. This is really interesting, because you know, the word that all things have been given, delivered to me by my Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So our Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't get more divine than being the determining factor as to who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. This whole understanding of our Lord here claiming that he's the one that chooses and illuminates those who will be saved. This is tremendous. Again, this one verse claims all these truths. It can't be both and. It's got to be one or the other. Either Jesus is the only way to heaven, or he's lying when he says he is. We don't look at any one of the persons of the Trinity and separate them from others. You can't have God the Father without God the Son. You can't have the Holy Spirit without God the Father and God the Son, because he proceeds from both of them. Our Eastern friends like to argue against that point. But our Lord Jesus Christ, I have to ascend into heaven so that the Father may send it. If it wasn't an integral thing, why would Jesus have to ascend to heaven? Okay, we see all three persons of the Trinity, for instance, at our Lord's baptism. The Father speaking from heaven, the Son being baptized, the Holy Spirit alighting on him. But a lot of people miss that part of it. The Holy Spirit comes out and alights on our Lord and remains on our Lord. This is the work of the undivided Trinity. So I thought it was the Holy Spirit who illuminated us. It is the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. I thought it was Holy Spirit it was God the Father who chose, predestined. Predestination is a thing. And our Lord here is claiming that he's the one that does it, because all things have been given to him. So predestination is in Jesus Christ. This is what the Calvinist, he talks about predestination as a God sat before history and said, okay, this person's going to heaven, this person's going to hell. That's the Calvinist view of predestination. That is so limited. It's such a temporal approach to that old thing. We are predestined in Christ Jesus, says the Holy Spirit through St. Paul. You are elect. You are predestined if you are in union with Christ, because in him lies predestination. In the moment you shun the faith, the moment you apostatize from the faith, guess what? You're not predestined anymore, because you're not in union with Christ Jesus. We're predestinated in him. So everything that is applied to one person of the Trinity, even when our Lord is applying these things to himself, all things have been given me by the Father. but all things still belong to the Father, and all things still belong to the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who chooses, but it is God who chooses through Christ and the Holy Spirit who illuminates. This can make your head swim, but I mean, this is what our Lord's talking about. You know, we don't have to make our head swim. We just focus on Christ. This is what he's saying right here, because, you know, we are people of this created order. We have bodies. We're temporal. We didn't really quite get God the Father until Jesus Christ came down and put a face on him and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us and to guide and direct us into that truth. So everything that is spoken about one person of the Trinity applies to every single one of them. When we understand this, it starts to coalesce just a little bit more within us, because true knowledge of God cannot be naturally known. Our Lord says that nature speaks of God just by its pure design. Psalm 19, Romans chapter 1, explicitly says that creation speaks of God. But it's not a saving knowledge of God, because if that was the case, everybody walking the face of the earth would go to heaven. So nature and our human intellect can try to approach the concept of God, but we cannot know him naturally. It has to be supernatural. It has to be our Lord Jesus Christ illuminating our hearts to the truth. This is the difference. What our Lord, what does our Lord in that gospel say? I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to infants. The compare and contrast are between the wise and understanding. Who's he talking about right there? The doctors of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, all these guys who cognitively know a bunch of different facts. They have the scriptures memorized, but they have a lot of head knowledge, but they obviously don't know anything, because you have hidden these things. Hidden what? Hidden this claim that I am God. These Pharisees who know everything that the prophets have pointed forward to speak about me, they don't get it. You've hidden them from the wise and the simple, and you have revealed it to infants. These apostles are so far separated from a head knowledge of God, a cognitive understanding of God, an appreciation and being able to discourse on the law. They are so far separated from that. They are the infants, but they get it. They get it. Even Judas Iscariot got it. This is what makes his sin so that much more heinous, is he understood completely who our Lord Jesus Christ was and still betrayed him. So this is what our Lord's talking about, the separation between those who might even have a head knowledge, a lot of head knowledge, about things of the faith, but don't know Christ. These things are hidden from them. This is why when for a person that's simplistic like me, you know, you read John 14:6, when our Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. I, in my simplicity, just have an easy time with that. But so many of the wise and prudent and the understanding, they tell us all that, well, Jesus really didn't mean that. You know, he didn't mean like he's the only way. You know, he said that and he might have even meant it, but we don't know what he means about it. Yeah, you don't. Anybody who would say something like, they don't know. Why? Because they must be the wise and understanding. It's been hidden from them. Why do we know it? Why do we sit in here and, you know, I'll speak for myself, in my simplicity, and would go to my death for these truths? This is because it's so simple if your eyes are open to these things. This is the reality of the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of interesting, too. He does not say that. He does not say that he has been commanded by the Father to reveal the Father to certain people. That would be that very Calvinistic view of predestination. He doesn't say to whom God has commanded Christ to reveal him. He says to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. It is to whom it shall please the Son to reveal him. if it pleases Jesus Christ, is it arbitrary? No, that's not what he's saying about it at all. What pleases Jesus Christ? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. How can you call me Lord and not do what I say? You can even know Jesus, but if you don't do what he says, like become a member of the church that he has established, there's a big, huge question mark. We have to do what he says. That pleases him. And when you please him, he will choose you. He looks at his apostle. You didn't choose me. I chose you. You know, every time we read the scripture, every time you open your Bible, there's a little subheadings over those gospel passages, right? The choosing of the apostles. There's actually some sort of scripture, Lord, I want to follow you. They can follow. They're not apostles. Okay, they're disciples. Some of them good ones. Some of them went on to be saints. But they followed along Jesus' teaching and then subsequently submitted themselves to the apostles that Jesus chose. So this whole choosing thing is very important to look at. But again, Judas Iscariot was chosen. Never lose sight of that. Judas Iscariot was chosen. And where is he right now? In the depths of hell. The church has never said that. The church doesn't have to because Jesus does. So, yeah, Jesus chose me because I'm a member of this church. I'm a baptized and confirmed Catholic. So what? You can wind up like Judas. Is everything that you got going, Judas had far more going on than you do. You know, you think about the apostles. Our Blessed Mother was set aside, and everybody appreciates the singularity of her blessings. We talk about the apostles a lot. I think we lose sight of the fact of how special these men are. How special, out of everybody that has ever walked the face of this planet, to have the Lord of glory call you to be one of the founding members of his church, to give you authority that exceed, to, when their shadows fall on people, they're healed from illnesses. Their used handkerchiefs cure people. That's how much these guys had going on. Okay? Every single one of them. And to think that Judas betrayed him after receiving all these things, it is really, truly an overwhelming fact. Shouldn't really be, because it was diabolical. Satan entered him. He became possessed. A man chosen by Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, an apostle, was possessed by Satan. Well, that stuff doesn't happen. It could never happen to me because I'm this and I've been. Beware of presumption. Judas was very presumptuous. No one is a Christian or a believer in Christ except by having their eyes opened by Christ. Judas believed. Judas knew. But would you consider Judas a believer right now? Because why? He didn't persevere to the end. That was a gospel reading last week. Those who persevere to the end will be saved. Not everybody. Our Lord reveals God the Father to people. This flies in the face against the Karl Rahner anonymous Christian trash. Karl Rahner, he's a great theologian and everything like that. No, that's heresy. But what's really scary about it is there are people in very, very high places in the church in our day who say that Karl Rahner was right. There are anonymous Christians. There are people who have never heard the gospel, and you know they know God because... That's not what Jesus says here. Jesus Christ says that he will reveal the Father, not that you'll find him accidentally. He reveals his Father, and you don't know the Father if you don't know the Son. Our old Karl Rahner tried to do is articulate through his sophistry universalism, which has been condemned by the church since her inception. Not everybody goes to heaven. I was talking before, I kind of hold the thought on the, you know, there's an element of truth in anything. So what? So what if there's elements of religious truth in the other monotheistic religions? They deny Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ says, you don't know the Father if you don't know me. And they both deny him. Much less anybody else that calls themselves a religious group. This reveal thing is, you know, it's the hallmark of what God, what our Lord's talking about right here. You've hidden these things from the wise and understanding, revealed them to infants. No one knows the Father except an enemy who he chooses to reveal. This is why you should be ecstatic of being here. You should be on your face before Almighty God, but I'm in the appropriate circumstances, literally, on occasion, giving him thanks for opening your eyes to the truths that other people scoff at. Many in your own church scoff that Jesus Christ is the only way because all are welcome. This is why that stuff is so wrong. Did I say so? No, because Jesus says so. He reveals, and things objective are revealed to you. This is not a subjective endeavor. If it was, Jesus couldn't say things like this. You say, well, I'll try to reveal them, or some I might not reveal, they'll just get it somehow. He emphasizes this. We need to appreciate it. Again, when I say appreciate it, I mean it in the purest sense of the word of embrace it cognitively, apply it to our hearts and the way we live our lives. Because when you do that, then you understand that the Holy Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ has opened our eyes to the truths of God the Father. Oh, anybody that claims God is okay. Interesting, when our Lord looked at the Pharisees who claim Abraham as their father, you are of your father the devil. That's a big separation from just believing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.